Lord bless you. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. There is no PowerPoint today, so please follow along, take notes. I want to bring an encouraging word today. Thank you for our guests. Good to see you today. I got a free book for you, to our guests, all right? So we got a book for you, we'll give you, whichever one you want. And but we want to go to Mark chapter 5 and read what is a familiar story, but bring out what I believe are some very important points from this text. And we'll give you our subject after we read the text. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Amen. Isn't that a beautiful story? It's a true story concerning this woman who had this affliction for 12 years. And it shows two things. It shows her desperation. It also shows her faith. And my topic today is, your faith can make you well. Say, "My faith can make me well." And we're going to talk about seven steps from desperation to faith. Now, you know, God will listen to you no matter what state you're in. We know that when you think about what faith is about confidence and believing God and trusting God. But sometimes you're just in a spot, in a place, say, "Lord, help." Amen. I mean, you can't even get the whole thing out in a coherent fashion. Amen. In some eloquent words. "Lord, help me." And this woman, look at her condition, her situation. I'm going to give you some seven key words here. Each word begins with a D. So write these down if you want to. Seven key words. And the first word is decision. Say decision. Decision. When she heard about Jesus, then she went to him. Now, here's what led to her decision. The Bible says this woman had this flow of blood for 12 years. 12 years. I don't know what it was, but it was an affliction. And she had suffered many things from many physicians. Now, we're talking about medical science, not modern medicine. We're talking about medicine 2,000 years ago, which is nowhere close to what we have today. So she truly suffered. Whatever they were doing, you know, trying things out, they were, you know, practicing medicine in the worst way many years ago. But the Bible says she had spent all she had. So she may have had money. Maybe she had money to spend. Sometimes, you know, when you got money to spend, folks are happy to treat you or mistreat you. Unscrupulous doctors or so-called doctors want to, "Hey, you got money? Let me try this thing on." I mean, who knows what she'd been through? She had suffered, the Bible says, many things from many physicians. And she had spent all she had and was no better. Now, that's a pretty bad place to be in your life, where you're sick, you're getting sicker, you spent all your money trying to get well, and you've only gotten worse. That's a very, very desperate place. And so her decision was, when she heard about Jesus, she went to him. Now, I don't know if she went to him out of a rational decision or a desperate decision. Doesn't matter. She made the right decision. You know, Jesus will take you, he'll take you no matter how you want to come to him. You can come desperate, You can come walking, come running, come crying, come laughing. Just come to Jesus.
Amen.
Just get to him.
Amen.
And so the Bible says she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Now, the picture on the graphic is an artwork showing her kind of pressing through. That's a nice piece of art. Notice that her face is covered. You can't even see her face. Just a beautiful work of art, actually. But it depicts her coming from behind this crowd. But the Bible says she made a declaration. Second word is declaration. Say declaration.
Declaration.
She made a decision. And then declaration she made was in verse 28. She said, if I may only touch his clothes, I will be made well. Now, we know she's desperate because we know from our perspective, touching Jesus' clothes is not necessary to be healed by him. But from her perspective, you know, sick, getting worse, all of her money gone, she's desperate. But she made the declaration from her decision, if I can touch this healer. She knew about what he had done, maybe had seen what he had done, had talked to people who had been healed by him. Because there was no mystery who Jesus was and what he had done. And there were many people around in a region who had been healed who could testify. Yeah, he healed me. He touched me. He healed me. He made me whole. And so that she came up behind him out of that decision she made. And I want to encourage us that declaration, in other words, speaking your faith is a very important part of your faith. The Bible says that whoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes what he said will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Now, what you say and confess isn't the total answer, but it's a part of the overall package called faith. Because if you don't speak of what you expect God to do, if you don't speak in a positive way about what you expect God to do, you won't see it done. God doesn't work outside of, I'll say this, God works sometimes by his mercy and by his just sheer grace and compassion. But where it concerns your lifestyle day by day, to get God involved with your life day by day, it's the whole package. It's believing, it's living a certain way, it's loving God, and it's confessing his word and confessing what you believe about God. So that's why we often encourage people. If we ask you, you know, how are you doing? We don't want you to lie and say, I'm fine. I mean, obviously, you're sick. You can say you're sick, but go straight to the response. Yeah, I'm sick, but you know what? I'm healed in Jesus. I'm getting better. I'm healed. He has healed me. I'm recovering. I'm into this thing. I'm into the flow of God's love and mercy and power. So find a way to tell what you should tell folk who need to know. But then go straight to the place of declaring your faith in God. Amen, somebody? Yeah. See, faith does not call things that are as though they're not. Faith calls things that are not as though they were. That says, again, if I have an ailment, I don't say I don't have the ailment. I have the ailment, but I have the healing to resolve the issue.
Amen?
I have the answer. I got a problem, and I got an answer to the problem. And I stress that because I've met too many people who think that denial of the problem is the answer to the problem. No, it's not. If your money is funny, if you got a problem handling money, you can't deny that and get better. Come on, you got to say, I got a problem handling my money. I got a problem with my budget. I got a problem. I need surgery. I need credit card surgery. I need to cut this thing out. I got to stay out of them stores. You know, I got to stop watching all that advertising. Think about advertising, especially online and in your email. If you respond to an email with some blue light special, you're going to get the green light special tomorrow and the purple light special the next day. You're going to get, once they track all the responses. So you start responding. That's a signal to them and all their friends. We got one. Here's his email address. And they sell your address. So that's why I don't discourage you from, well, look, just be prudent. Amen. Now, so then she made her decision. She made her declaration. And now she has pressed her way through the crowd and she has touched his garment. And verse 29 is now the demonstration. Say demonstration.
Demonstration.
Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Now, sometimes when God works a miracle, you feel that. It just happens and it's done. Many times, though, is a process involved with your healing or the answers you need to have in your life. Either way, it begins when you believe. It begins when you touch Jesus with your faith. So the Bible says, verse 30, that Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around to the crowd and said, "Who touched me? Who touched my clothes?" This is amazing. And it's very instructive because it shows you something about how faith works. That Jesus did not pray for this lady. He did not look at her and pray for her. The Bible says that she came up from behind him and just touched a part of his garment. But the Bible says he felt power go out of him. I love that statement. We always think that all my answers, God has to do something for me. He has to look at me. He has to see me, or somebody has to touch me. No, sometimes your faith is the point of contact. Your faith is what draws power out of God, out of Jesus. Matter of fact, that's really the way we should live. Many times say, "Well, you know, I got to get down to that crusade." Why? Well, because they're praying for sick people and I'm sick. When's the crusade? Next week? Next week? No, you're missing the point. You can't wait for the, if you're really sick, the crusade is too late. I mean, you might be really sick by next week. No, don't wait for the crusade for your healing. Call on Jesus today.
Amen.
Now, I think that sometimes the church and preachers kind of push this thing out the wrong way. We make folk think you got to get to me before you can get something from God.
Right.
No, you don't need me to get something from God. You need Jesus. You need Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to get something from God. Amen.
Amen.
What did I say? What did I just say then?
You need Jesus and the Holy Spirit
to get something from God. What I do is teach you about how to get something from God. I show you the way. And I can pray for you and help you and help impart that. But don't wait around for something that God wants to give you today.
Amen.
Y'all believe that? So her story proves this. See, she's going from desperation to faith, and she is showing us something very, very special about how faith works. Well, when Jesus felt this power go out of him, and he asked the question, "Who touched me?" Now, our next word is denial. Say denial. But the disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" So here his own staff, his own team were in denial of what happened. They couldn't see it. Didn't happen to them. They weren't aware of it. They weren't even aware that God could work like this. So they were helped also in learning how powerful Jesus is, how powerful faith is. And so they're the ones who question what's going on. What? Say what, Lord? Because they didn't see the woman. They didn't see her. She just kind of, you know, snuck in there. The picture shows her coming in low. Came in low, man, between people's legs. And, you know, she got in there and touched his garment. But they didn't see her. So they're asking, "Lord, now you're people are thronging you." I mean, listen, a throng is so many people in one space until it's like shoulder to shoulder and no room to move hardly. You know, it's just packed in there. And so everybody's leaning and touching and bumping and going on. It's just a whole lot. And I would suspect this, that there were other people touching Jesus too. He was being touched and grabbed by a lot of desperate people who did not have faith. But the woman But the one person who touched him, just his garment, not his, didn't grab his arm. She just touched his garment. And he felt power go out of him because that was the touch of faith.
Amen.
That's my point. So then God responds to faith. Yes, he listens to us when we cry out. He even listens to us complain and murmur and groan and moan. We say bellyache, all those terms. He hears all that. But he only responds to faith. So if you're going bellyache, get it all out now. Just get it out. Because that's not the part God's going to use. Get it all out. You know, get in the mirror and tell yourself about it. But in God's presence, have faith. Because frustration is real. Desperation is real. We all feel it. We've all experienced it. But please understand, you must at some point get to the place of resolving in your heart, I'm going to decide Jesus is my answer. He has what I need. I'm going to declare my faith in him, and I'm going to demonstrate that by getting, you know, to him through my faith. And the Bible says that power went out of him then, and power still comes out of Jesus to this day. He hadn't stopped, even though he's not physically here. In fact, it's even better because now his presence is everywhere. Through the Holy Spirit, Christ is ever present with us. You believe this?
Amen.
So the Bible here says, the disciples asked, Lord, what are you talking about? Everybody's thronging you. And you say, who touched me? The next key word is discovery. Say discovery. Verse 32. So he looked around to see who had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him. So, I mean, she just experienced a miraculous healing. She had gone from 12 years of pain and agony and embarrassing situations, you know, publicly. You know, she had gone from being to suffering to being healed in a moment of time. Now, that's the kind of thing that'll make you just, you know, act the same way. I mean, that's the kind of thing that if it happened to you, you'd be trembling too. Come on, you'd be trembling and shaking and like, oh, God, what just happened to me? You see people sometimes, how they act when they win a prize show. We're like watching Family Feud. We watch it, Steve Harvey, you know. And folk act all kind of ways, man, when they win a little something. And get that $10,000 now. That's not a bad little thing to get. But look how people act, man, when they win something. They jump around, they're trembling. Some just tremble, some scream, some shriek. My point is, this woman, to see her, for Christ to turn and see her trembling, I understand that. She had received something so amazing, she could barely compose herself. And the Bible says, so he discovered her because she discovered him. And the Bible says she came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. The whole truth was the whole story of how she had been sick for 12 years, how she had suffered many things from many physicians, how she had spent all that she had and only grew worse. The whole truth. And how I heard about you, Jesus, and I just made my way through the crowd and I just got up behind you and I touched your garment. So she explained to him what had happened. Everybody's listening and learning. Listening and learning. See, Jesus Christ would do things often in public, not only for the person who received it, but for everybody who saw it. Because part of the lesson here was, you don't need Jesus to come to you. You can go to him. And the other story we know that's similar to this is the story of the centurion, Roman centurion. One day while Christ was on the way to pray for somebody, the Bible says that this centurion came to him and said, Lord, I have a servant who is sick, who's sick unto death. And Christ said, well, I'll come to him. I'll go pray for him. I got to go here first. I go there next. Centurion said, oh, don't bother coming over here. Centurion said, no, don't come. Just speak the word only. For I am a man like you. I'm under authority.
Amen.
I have servants. I have other other soldiers. I command them to come. They come. They go. They go. I'm a man, also a man under authority. I know. Christ said, wow. I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel. Because this man tapped into something other folk hadn't seen yet. See, Christ was willing to go to this one and go to that one and go to the other one because that's where their faith was. Their faith was, I need to see him before I can get my healing. But that woman's faith was, if I can just touch him. And the centurion's faith was, just say it. Just say it, Jesus. Just say it. Jesus is like, oh, man, that'll save me a lot of time in my schedule. I appreciate you, buddy. You're going to save me a whole lot of time. And the fact is, what the centurion tapped into is where we should be today. So going to the crusade to get your healing, you can do that. It's just not necessary. Amen? Say, I can speak the word. The word of faith. Say, I can speak the word of faith. Just like my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So the Bible says that she discovered her healing. He discovered her. And the Bible says that the next, in fact, the final key word here is the word dignity. Say dignity. Look at verse 34. He said, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. My. Now, understand this about the power of God. The power of God resides in the spiritual realm. Now, we are fully acquainted with this physical realm. We have five senses, right? We see, we hear, we taste, we touch. What else? We smell. That's five senses. And those senses let us detect. We detect all the world around us by those five senses, all right? Now, we know as an example of other types of spheres of presence. For example, I've got my iPad in front of me, and I'm online right now, and there is Wi-Fi in this building. And Wi-Fi, you know, is a signal going out. It's invisible, an invisible signal that if, you know, you log into our network, you can tap, and then I can download scripture. And I mean, I'm online, basically, Wi-Fi. That's invisible. If you have a radio, you can right now turn it on and tune stations in because there are radio waves passing through this building right now. There are microwaves going through here. Now, microwaves are mainly just for broadcast TV transmission, uses microwave transmission. Not your oven, but well, it's like that. But microwave is also used for different things. And we have all these invisible things. We have oxygen in the room. I mean, nobody's passing out, praise God. We got plenty of air. We got air up in here. And so we have oxygen. I mean, we have all these things going on we can't see. My point is that there is, in the spiritual realm, a lot of things going on too. There's the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are angels. And there is the power of God as manifested through the Holy Spirit. Now, we can't fully explain it. Bible says, Jesus said, the Spirit of God is like the wind. You cannot see the wind, but you see the effects of the wind, right? When you're in a house, look out your window and the trees are bowing down. You're like, okay, that's pretty high wind out there. You can feel nothing in the house, but you see the effect of the wind through your window. So let's not doubt God. Let's not have a question about, because, listen, y'all, because I don't comprehend it, let me not question it. Don't make that mistake of questioning things that you don't understand. We should have the open heart, open mind. Lord, help me, teach me, Lord, increase my faith. Don't criticize people of faith. Well, he said God healed him. I don't understand that. Yeah, obviously not. That's evident. Right out of your mouth, you know what I'm saying? I don't believe all that prosperity stuff. Yeah, we can see that too. You know, so don't make the mistake of criticizing things you don't understand. And then don't try to talk about stuff you aren't a student of. The biggest help I ever got, told you over and over again, a young man, unsaved, talking about God one day, and my friend Ronnie came over. We all knew he was a Christian. We had questions. We're going to engage Ronnie. I had this big thing planned, made my statement. Ronnie said, yeah, Brian, how is that? I said, well, you know, man. Well, don't you tell me. Well, I don't know. See, I made my big statement to Ronnie about God, about faith. Ronnie said, explain to me. He knew I didn't know anything. There I am, stumbling like, oh, yeah, but, you know, So I learned that lesson, you know, a long time ago as a kid, thank God. Do not talk about things you aren't a student of. Ask questions. Students do what? Ask questions. Learn. Gain some insight. So then Jesus said, woman, your faith has made you well. And that was a statement of dignity, because he dignified this woman who had suffered so much from so many people, even to be embarrassed to be out in public with blood thing, you know, all this thing going on. She had issues that kept her constantly on edge. But when Jesus healed her, he also restored her body and restored her dignity. You believe that? Her sense of self-worth soared as a result of discovering what God had done for her. That's important because in that day especially, people who were afflicted were thought to be cursed by God. In that day, it was very common for people who were beggars, who were disabled, crippled, whatever, who had leprosy. They were all thought, God, you must have done something very wrong to end up like this. And so that she lived under the burden of that. Even though she had done nothing wrong, she was burdened with this being cursed by God, which she was not cursed by God. So then I want you to think about, Jesus said, go in peace. Go in peace. Whenever you come to Jesus, you make a decision. And I think I skipped one word. I did. Actually, let me back up a little bit, because the first word I actually had to you was dilemma. Dilemma is the problem, okay? Yes, she had this dilemma with the blood. Then from there, you have decision, declaration, demonstration, denial, discovery, dignity. Those are all the words, okay? The first one actually was dilemma, which is a problem. So then, when Jesus dignifies us with a blessing, with a healing, and it says to us, go in peace, he means exactly that, go in peace. Because he had seen the storm that she had lived through. He had sensed the turmoil that she had endured and the struggle that she had lived through. And these words to her were not just like goodbye. No, he was actually saying to her, take this peace you have now, go with it. Go in peace. That's the point. When God works with us, when God deals with us, whether it's in healing, rebuke, correction, instruction, you gain another level of peace, and you should go with that peace. Amen. You should carry that peace with you into your tomorrows. Amen. If I am disturbed today, and my life has been disturbed as a result of my personal disturbance, my whole life has been thrown into a turmoil, when God helps me, then I can go in peace. I expect peace now. I'm not going to let other people treat me like I was before I got my peace from God. See, listen, people want to make you famous for your trouble. I tell you that all the time. You know, say you had some difficulty in your life, something went wrong for a minute, and then people found out about it, you know, and they try to help you, commiserate with you. How you doing, man? Oh, I'm coming through, whatever. And then you come all the way through it, and folks still asking you, man, yeah, you had a problem with that 10 years ago? I've been going in peace for 9 years. See, so you'll find out that sometimes people don't really want to accept what God has done in your life. Well, that's their problem. And no, listen, y'all, and once God has worked worked your problem and you've gotten, your faith has made you well, and you've learned how to exercise your faith and tap into God, oh, don't stop that process. Don't stop that way of operating in life. Once you've learned how to trust God and receive from God, don't go back to begging people for stuff. Don't go back to acting all desperate. But now you know, if I can just touch him, not touch physically, but my faith can touch him, my faith can draw power from God anytime it's needed.
Amen.
Amen. Now, the thing is, the results aren't always instantaneous. That's the big issue here. Just recognize that when you've put faith in God, you don't get the answer always in the moment you ask. But please understand this. You've got the answer. You've got the blessing. You already have. You already have what you need in Christ. When you exercise your faith, it's like you just tap into it. So don't then, if you have faith to receive it, don't start trusting your eyes for all the evidence of it. Continue to believe what God has promised he will deliver to you.
Amen?
Amen? You know, you book a flight well in advance of your trip, and you book the flight and have no problem believing that when the day arrives, the plane will be sitting there for me to get on. Right? I booked our Africa flight was booked. We booked the Africa flight for November way back in June. Booked four flights. And now the flight times did change. A couple of them changed slightly. But the point is, you know, we had enough confidence in the airlines to meet their obligation to us, to be there for us and take us safely to our destination. Well, hey, if the airline can do it, I know my God can do it. I know my God will be there waiting on me and take me to my destination safely. Amen. So again, dilemma, decision, declaration, demonstration, denial, discovery, dignity. This is the process of how God took this woman from desperation to faith. And it's a lesson for us to live by every day. Your faith can make you well. Your faith in God draws the power of God. See, I mean, it's your faith to the extent that your faith is tapping into something from God. Your faith alone is not what's doing it. It's your faith in God, but your faith is drawing into your body, into your mind, into your circumstances, something you need from God. Only God can do. And also add this, sometimes there are things you have to do, but God will give you faith for what you need to get done. Amen? I mean, God, you have confidence in God. God has confidence in you. God can trust you. When God can trust you for some things, you know, he has faith in us sometimes, in the sense that he can trust us to do what he said. And once we have that kind of relationship with God, where God, we have mutual trust, I trust God, God trusts me, Jesus says, like it's like a person says, he says, some will ask, some will seek, but some will knock and the door will be opened. I'm talking about knocking. Now I'm talking about people who can knock and the door is open. Because you know you have the access. You know you have the right relationship. You know you have the right understanding. Amen? You know, we have our church, we have a we do business, of course, and we have line of credit we use from time to time. And we can just go to the bank and say, hey, I need this much money, and we have it. It's already been arranged, you know, and we have already shown our trustworthiness. We just go get it, you know. We got to give it, got to pay it back. But there's no hoops to jump through. There's no loan application. There's no having to sit down in the meeting. We just go get the money. And, you know, we use it for something, put it back in there, you know. So my point is, when we have relationships with God, we always ask, but we ask from a perspective of, I'm talking to my Father right now. I'm not talking to a stranger, trying to persuade a stranger to break me off something here. I'm talking to God, my Father, who said that, Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want, which means I shall not lack. You are my shepherd, I shall not lack. Say it, say, Lord, you are my shepherd.
Lord, you are my shepherd.
I shall not lack.
I shall not lack.
Amen. It's true, isn't it? But Pastor, I'm lacking so much now. Work on that relationship. Work on that relationship. Because listen, y'all, when you get right with God, get tight with God, first thing that happens, your mindset will change. You might still be broke, but your mindset will change. That's the first thing that happens. And then you begin to see when your mindset changes and you walk with God a different way, you begin to see all kind of opportunities around you. So, oh, I didn't see that before. I just now saw that. Ooh, I see this now. It's amazing what you begin to see when you're walking with God. Yes. And you begin to have that relationship where you're not in desperation anymore. You're in faith. So you're less like the woman and you're more like the centurion who says, Jesus, just speak it. I'm busy. You're busy. You know what I'm saying? Just say it. And it's done. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Let's all stand.